A reading from Exodus chapter 16. They set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the people of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning, dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine, flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord commanded. Gather of it, each one of you, as much as he can eat. You shall each take an omer, according to the number of the persons that each of you has in his tent.' And the people of Israel did so. They gathered, some more, some less. But when they measured it with an omer, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Each of them gathered as much as he could eat. And Moses said to them, 'Let no one leave any of it over till the morning.' But they did not listen to Moses. Some left part of it till the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was angry with them. Morning by morning they gathered it, each as much as he could eat. But when the sun grew hot, it melted. O Lord, have mercy on us."
Thanks be to God.
A reading from James chapter 1. "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
And a reading from John chapter 19. "So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and he went out, bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue this Lent as we go through the Lord's Prayer, that chief part of the Catechism that teaches us a lot about who God is and who we are as his children praying to him. And God shows you in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," that he cares for you. He cares for you daily. And he cares for your physical needs. And that's the thing about God. He's not distant. He's not out of touch with what you need in this life. No, God does care about your daily bread. He cares about your body. He cares about what you need each and every day. And there's so much care and concern in this meaning to the petition. It's summed up well when it confesses, "God certainly gives daily bread to everyone without our prayers, even to all evil people. But we pray in this petition that God would lead us to realize this and to receive our daily bread with thanksgiving." Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, "For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." So when you think about this, that God even gives daily bread, that is the things needed to support this body of life, to unbelievers, why is that? Well, God didn't just create the world and ignore it. God orders, he governs, establishes all things in creation. God did not look at the fall into sin as something then to reject his people. He entered into the world to save. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus mean everything for you, even as you consider the daily bread that God gives to you as Christians and the daily bread he gives to unbelievers. The reconciliation of the world to himself in Christ shows you how God thinks about his creation. The unbeliever, though outside of salvation, still has his daily needs given to him by God because Jesus has made full atonement for sin on the cross. It is finished, as Jesus said before he died. And it wasn't just a nice sentiment. It's a proclamation about the full payment he made, which is complete. And in his resurrection, he proclaims to the whole world that justification they have on account of him. Without the person and work of Jesus, though, there wouldn't be any redemption. And there wouldn't be daily bread. But God in his mercy provides for the daily bread of believers and unbelievers alike. I had a professor in seminary who was talking about this and talking about preaching daily bread. And I don't know why. There are certain things in your life that you just remember because they're kind of just weird. You ever had that? It's like that. I won't ask you to share. But I remember he was like, any of you guys like pizza? I was like, oh, all of us raised our hand. Of course we like pizza. What are we? I don't know what we are. And he said, the reason why you have pizza and why God gives you even pizza to unbelievers is because of Jesus. And we just kind of laughed. Yeah, sure. He's like, no, think about that. That God in Christ has reconciled the world to himself. That even such as simple as the pleasure that is having pizza is nothing short of God's mercy. And to know what it is to be thankful for what God gives. And our Lord who gives us these things. So when you pray then, give us this day our daily bread, you're praying to the God who is involved in your daily life, the God who knows you. Your prayer is heard and answered by the one that you call Father, whose name is holy, who's placed his name upon you in the waters of baptism, and whose kingdom you belong, who accomplishes his good and gracious will in your lives through his word. It's fascinating that the Lord's Prayer, not only did Jesus tell us to pray this way and give it to us, it's the perfect prayer in terms of even how it presents things in the prayer itself. We're up to this point now because of all those other petitions. And so in the psalm a few minutes ago from Psalm 104, it proclaims, these all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. So the Lord does take care of his creation. God sees to it that the sun rises and sets, that the rain falls, that the crops grow. And he has placed in this world an order whereby his creatures take care of his creation. And he places you into this as well. And he sees to it that you are cared for as his people. And God governs the world, and he also governs human interactions and human events. You pray for a pious spouse and children. You pray for faithful rulers. You pray for a good government and all things you need in this daily life that the Lord has given to you in this world, and that you can live at peace and live as Christians. And you're praying to God who governs the world and takes care of you. And you see, too, in this where God has called you to be his instruments and servants for the sake of others. Even if it's just by yourself, you see still how God calls you to work, and through your work and employment to provide for your needs. Christian parents know this very well as God uses them to feed their children. Christians serve one another and help those in need too as instruments of mercy and compassion, loving as Christ first loved you. In terms of good government, you see God at work giving you daily bread as well. Good governments that respect private property and laws, that reward industry, commerce, investment, they serve as God's means of providing material abundance. Bad governments that ignore God's law, that is written into his creation, bring about poverty, scarcity, and even famine on the countries they rule. Think about even the seventh commandment, "You shall not steal." If the law cannot protect private property, people won't work. Why work if what you are working for can be stolen from you without any legal recourse in getting it back? God curbs evil through the government to take care of his creation and see that daily bread is given and that you can provide daily bread. If nobody works, who will plow? Who will harvest? Who will teach? Who will build? Who will invest? So God uses good government in this petition of daily bread to provide you with what you need. This is why you should pray for your rulers. God commands it, even when you think they are corrupt or incompetent. Because the same God who determines the heat and the moisture of the atmosphere, who rains down the heavens to the fields, can change the heart and behavior of even the most cynical people. Our Father in heaven runs this world. How else could we confidently call upon him for our daily bread? And the Lord made this world for his children. He gave this world to us. It's not ours for us to do as we choose, but it's ours to care for as servants of God. God made Adam and Eve in his image. They were like him. They feared, loved, and trusted in him. They were capable of worship. And when they lost this divine image by sinning, they didn't lose their value as human beings. And God redeemed us to restore that lost image. And through Christ, we once again know God. We once again worship him. We once again recognize who he is and receive from his gracious hand what he gives us. God reveals and shows us that he is our Father. And we humbly and dutifully are the ones who respond to him in thanks and in thanksgiving. And God reveals that he has humbly laid down his life for us on the cross. And in the suffering of Jesus, we see the glory of our Heavenly Father. You heard this in the reading tonight. There in that compassion of Jesus, you see the Lord. You see him who his good and gracious will is revealed. You see the forgiveness that we need is obtained. You see the power to withstand all temptation and we're delivered from the evil one. And there is where you find the assurance that your Father will always provide you for your daily bread. It is finished. Your Lord has done it. So how then should you regard your daily bread? The attitude you are to have towards your material needs is strongly influenced by your attitude toward the one who provides them. Is God for you or is he against you? Does he love you or does he not? Is he really concerned with the specific details of your life or is his attention directed somewhere else? Are you of no importance to God? No, Jesus is the one who has revealed the Father's love for you. And Jesus is the one who invites you to pray to your Father for daily bread. For Jesus is the one who has purchased you, who has redeemed you both body and soul, and assures you that your Father in heaven will never forget your bodily needs. There may be times when you have a time of scarcity. There may be times when daily bread is plenty. But at all times, God gives you your daily bread and takes care of you. And so God teaches you to pray for your daily bread. Notice in the Lord's Prayer, he doesn't teach you to pray for a lifetime supply. You don't need that much. You only need what you can use right now. Jesus isn't necessarily teaching you not to invest or to save or plan or work for your future, but he's commanding you to pray for your daily bread. So that when you do plan, when you do work, you let God do the worrying about where the planning and working will leave you. It's not as if your daily bread depends on you. If it did, Jesus wouldn't teach and command you to pray for it. Notice too, as the church, that you pray, give us this day our daily bread. When each of us prays that prayer, we pray it together as God's people. We pray to our Father who gives all of us together our daily needs. And the reading from Exodus tonight shows how God provided for his people as they wandered through the desert for 40 years. God daily gave them manna. They learned to take only what they needed each day and to let God take care of the next day. And God works every day still to give you what you need and tells you not to worry about tomorrow. Whether God is raining down manna from heaven, or he is using agriculture, transportation, commerce, or whatever other means, it's still the same God who is taking care of you. Give us this day our daily bread. Pray that each and every day with boldness. Pray it with confidence. Do you know how you will make ends meet? How you will pay all your bills? How your daily bread will keep on coming in the next month and the next year? Maybe not. But even the rich man in one of Jesus' parables who had stored up everything and thought he could now eat, drink, and be merry, that night his soul was required of him, and God called him a fool. The point is you don't know what tomorrow brings. But in Christ, you know the one who will give you your daily bread. The Lord who did not spare his only begotten Son, but sent him to suffer and die for you will also give you what you need. And even if today is your last day of daily bread, you have the Lord who promises you the day is coming where you will be in his presence and not hunger or thirst anymore, where you no longer need to pray, give us this day our daily bread, but as you see the bread of life face to face. And so God grant you the thankfulness to look to him as you receive from his gracious hand, and give him thanks for all of his benefits that he gives you each and every day, and even unto life everlasting. Amen.